Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Lamed Aled. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aled Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the top, Maskov Lo Rabbi Bar Ula. As we had learned at the end of our previous shiur, a halacha that we keep on reviewing as far as when Shavuos Ha'edus applies is the halacha that Shavuos Ha'edus only applies b'tfiyas mamon, when there's a financial issue at hand. And when we discussed this yesterday, the Gemara quoted a lengthy brisa that brought down four different opinions of Tanoim for sources for this halacha that Shavuos Ha'edus only applies b'tfiyas mamon. And now, as we said, the Gemara is going to analyze each one of these sources. The first opinion was the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says we learn it from Gzeir Shava of Oy between the parish of Shavuos HaPikadon and the parish of Shavuos Ha'edus. And since Shavuos HaPikadon only applies, by Dinim Mamonis, so too does Shavuos Ha'edus only apply b'tfiyas mamon. And in fact, Rebbe Eliezer himself, in analyzing that Gzeir Shava, suggested that perhaps we should learn it from the word oi that the Torah uses by Ritzayach. Perhaps we should learn it from the word oi that the Torah uses by Saita. And the Gemara and Rebbe Eliezer and the Braisa successfully explained why the comparison between Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos HaPikadon is the best comparison. Maskula Rav Abba Bar Ula, so now Rav Abba Bar Ula says, perhaps there should be a different comparison. Oy, bitu yichichu. Why don't we learn from the halachas of Shavuos HaPikadon, Shavuos Bitui, where the Torah there too uses the words oy numerous times. The pasuk says, "I nevesh ki si shava levatibus v'sayim lahara lahetif," and we should learn shein oyin. The Torah uses the word oy by Shavuos Bitui, and v'yeshiman shuud. Shavuos Bitui, like Shavuos Ha'edus, refers to situation of shua. V'enimon kohen, and there is no requirement for a kohen by Shavuos Bitui, just like there is no requirement by Shavuos Ha'edus, even though there is a requirement by Saita. Umedabrim shlobetrius mamon. Shavuos Bitui is not limited to mamon. There's a machloikis amongst the mefarshim how to understand what the Gemara means to ask. Some mefarshim say that the Gemara means to ask. So if so, that's the way most mefarshim learn. So if so, Shavuos Ha'edus should not be limited to mamon. If we're going to learn it from Shavuos Bitui, it should have the same din as Shavuos Bitui, which is not limited to mamon. Or the mefarshim that suggest that what the Gemara means to ask is, if so, it should apply perhaps strictly to non-mamon issues and not to mamon issues. Answers the Gemara, Mestabra Mekadon Havelo Melef. It makes more sense to learn it from Shavuos Pikadon. She came Mitechta Mitechta. The Torah used the words Techta by Shavuos Ha'edus, as it does by Shavuos HaPikadon, and therefore it makes more sense that that should be the limud. And it's important to point out what Rabbi Akiva Eger says. Rabbi Akiva Eger says what the Gemara here means to say is not that we're having a Gzeir Shava between Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos HaPikadon. Because says Rabbi Akiva Eger, as we learned and we'll discuss later in our shir, that is actually the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who relies on the Gzeir Shava of Techta Techta. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't rely on that Gzeir Shava. Rabbi Eliezer relies on the Gzeir Shava of Oy Oy. Rather, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, what the Gemara means to say is that we're trying to determine what is a better comparison. Is the comparison between Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Bitui the better comparison, or the comparison between Shavuos Ha'edus and Shavuos Pikadon? And what the Gemara is saying is that given that the Torah uses the word Techta both by Shavuos Ha'edus and by Shavuos HaPikadon, that is an indication, says the Gemara, that this is the better comparison. Ask the Gemara, Adarabba, Bibitu Hevel HaMelech. If we're trying to determine what is the better comparison, we could strongly suggest that the better comparison is actually the comparison between Shvus Bitui and Shvus Eidus, because they both have the common denominator, Shekein Chatas Michatas, that in both situations there's a Chiv Karbon Chatas, whereas by Shvus HaBikodin, carbon, even if it was done b'mezid, both in Shuas Ha'edis and Shuas Ha'edis, the halacha is that there's a chiyuv carbon b'mezid too, tavei v'kafrei, and both involve a situation where there was a request and a denial. Shuas Ha'edis, as we have been learning, involves a situation where somebody came and requested that we make a shvua on his behalf because I know testimony. Shvuas pekadin also means that somebody came over to me and says, you're holding my pekadin, and they deny holding the pekadin. And here the Mefarshim point out that even though we have previously learned in our perek that it's not the same, because the Torah, when it speaks about shvuas pekadin, uses the words bekichesh ben meisoi, and we learned that Gemara said earlier in our parak bekichesh kaldehu, any hachosh is considered achosha. Say the mefarshim, so how can we say that both shvus ha'edis and shvus bekodin speak to achosha to have a v'kafrei? Then we just say that shvus ha'bekodin actually does not have that rule. So I saw two ways of that the mefarshim answer this question. One way is that even though it's not specifically required that by Shuas HaBikadon there be a demand, a toveya, and then the person respond that I don't know, still, typically, that's what happens. A person's not going to go over to someone else and say, I'm not holding anything of yours, unless he's first asked so. That's one pshat. So the Gemara is referring to the normal situation, where Shuas Bitui, that is the common case where the person makes a shvua on his own. But then, as we quoted earlier in our perek, there are opinions, we said, that hold that by Shvuas Pekodin, even though it doesn't require, as Shvuas Eidus requires, a full-fledged tviya, we did learn that there are opinions that hold, we quoted the real or nil, that says that by Shvuas HaPekodin, there has to be some sort of indication that something's being asked of me. It may not require the same level of explicit demand as Shvus Eidus, but there is some sort of requirement. As he said, it may require Rotz Achrov. And therefore, Shvus Eidus and Shvus Bekodim have this common characteristic, the Avri. Here too, we have a number of Peshatim how to understand this. Most Mefarshim, Rishonim, explain what the Gemara means with Avri, is that Shvus Eidus, Shvus Bekodim refer to something in the past. I deny knowing testimony. I deny having your Pekodin. Whereas a Shvus HaPekodin, Shvus Bitui, refers to the future. Of course, the problem with this Pshat is that we have actually previously learned that Rabbi Kiva, and that's the opinion of the Stam Mishnah, actually holds that Shvus HaBitui also applies to the past. Achalti v'loy achalti. So how are we saying that Shvus Bitui is only to the future? So the way these Rishonim explain is that since the Torah, when it speaks about Shvus Bitui, uses the words lahara li'haytiv, uses the expression speaking about the future, even though Rabbi Kiva has explained that it speaks about the past also, that doesn't change that it's primarily focused on the future, whereas Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pekudim are primarily focused on the past. That's how most Rishonim learn the Gemara. However, there are Rishonim, because of this question, because saying that Shavuos Bitu is only to the future is a very difficult point. They therefore explain that the difference is as follows. Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pekudim involve doing an Aveira. As soon as somebody says a Shavuos Bitu, says Shavuos Eidos or Shavuos Pekudim, they're lying, and therefore an Aveira. That's what Avrei means. Whereas by Shavuos Bitu, when one declares the Shavuah, there's no Aveira being done, and therefore it doesn't have that characteristic. It says, well, Adarabba, if we're looking for where are the common characteristics, we could argue that we should prefer to learn from Shavuos Bitui, Shekein Chattas, both of them bring a Karm Chattas, where Shavuos Bikotten brings a Karm Asham, Shiyarda, the Karm Chattas that's brought by Shavuos Bitui, and by Shavuos Bikotten is a Karm Oil of Yorid. It depends on your financial situation, what Karm you'll bring. Shavuos Bikotten is always the same carbon asham, and l'chaymish. By carbon, by shvuas b'kodin, when the person admits that he lied, he also has to add a chaymish. By shvuas bitui, and by shvuas ha'edus, there is no concept of a chaymish. So, isn't this a proof that this is, that there are many characteristics between shvuas bitui and shvuas ha'edus, and then perhaps, therefore, we should learn the halacha of shvuas ha'edus from shvuas bitui? Answers the Gemara, Hanach Nafishin. There are more common characteristics between Shavuos Bitui and Shavuos, between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pekudim, rather than between Shavuos Bitui and Shavuos Eidos. And as the Rajba explains, the basis of the Havamin and the Maskon of the Gemara is actually the issue that we just discussed a moment ago. Do we look, explains the Rajba, at the fact that Shavuos Bitui is primarily focused on the future, where Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pekudim are focused on the past, and therefore there'll be more that will be added in the common characteristics between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pekudim? Or, since we follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says that Shavuos Bitui applies to the past, they have an equal amount of common characteristics. Rabbi Kiva, we learned in the Braisa, or we give a second opinion why Shavuos Eidos is only by a Tfiyas Mamon, because the Pasuk says by Shavuos Eidos, V'hoya ki yashem la'achas mi'ela. The word me'ela comes to teach us, says Rabbi Kiva, yesh me'ela shu chayif. There are times that you chayif for Shavuos Eidos, v'yesh me'ela shu potter, there are times you potter for Shavuos Eidos. Ha'ketzat, tava mamon, if it's a financial situation, chayiv, then Shavuos Eidos applies. Tava dava acher, but if it's not a financial situation, potter, Shavuos Eidos doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, eitachana, maybe we should say just the opposite, and maybe say, yes, Shavuos Eidos doesn't apply in all situations, but maybe just the opposite, it only applies by non-financial situations, but does, and won't apply by financial situations. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Oyin der Beleza Samach. Rabbi Kiva will have to rely on the Gzer Shav of Oy that we just said Rabbi Leza holds off. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, is that Rabbi Kiva follows this approach. We have the Gzer Shav of Oy, which teaches us that Shavuos Eidos only applies by Tfiyas Mamon. Then we take that Gzer Shav. Then we take the pasuk of Me'ela to teach us that even if we're saying that it only applies by financial situations, it doesn't apply by all financial situations, as we're going to see, it only applies by some. Durimigash learns the Gemara just the opposite. He says the way to understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion is as follows, that Me'ela tells us that Shavuos Eidos only applies in certain situations, and then the word oi teaches us which is the limited situation that Shavuos Eidos applies by dinei mamonos. The nafkamina between the pshat of the Rash, of Rashi and the Rimigash will be that according to Rashi, Rabbi Akiva, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara, will have a much more limited application of Shvuas Eidus, even by Dini Mammon, than Rabbi Lezer. And that indeed is what the Gemara wants to point out. My benayi ben Rabbi Lezer Akiva, where will there be a nafkamina if they're both relying on the oi? Yes, Rabbi Akiva also takes the me'ela on top of the oi. What is he trying to accomplish with this? Answers the Gemara, ikka benayi mishbi eid karka. We're going to learn a sugya if Shvuas Eidus applies by karka, and the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Lezer, Shvuas Eidus will apply by karka. Karka is financial. Chayovim. Rekiva says it's not enough that it should just be mammon. Not all mammon bring with them a chiv of Shvuas Eidus, and therefore it won't apply by karka. However, asked the Gemara, Ule Rabbi Yochanan Bar Mahasam, Meshbiya Eide Karka. Then in a situation of Karka, Afila Rabbi Lezer Paturim, even Rabbi Lezer agrees that Shvuas Eidus doesn't apply. We're back to our question, Hocha Mayika Bar Rabbi Lezer Lerbi Kiva, what will be the Nafkamina? Answered the Gemara, Ika Benai De Eide Knas. The Nafkamina that we learned in the previous year, by Knas, will Shvuas Eidus apply by Knas? It is mammon, but as we explained in the previous year, it's not mammon that you're necessarily going to have to pay, because Allah is Maid B'Knas is Potter, and that will be the basis of the machlaikis between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, the third opinion in the Brice that we learned yesterday, why Shvuas Eidus is limited to mammon, was Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion. Because he said the pasuk in the parasha of Shvuas Eidus says, Vu Eid Oyra Oyada, Be'ed, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, where does Shvuas Eidus apply? Be'edus ha-miskayemes b'riya b'lo yediya or b'yediya b'lo riya. In situations where the Eidim can be valid Eidim if they just report what they saw without knowing, without full knowledge, we explain this, or b'yediya b'lo riya, or they know but they didn't really see. Hakos medabra. And as we explained, and we'll speak about it more, Mitzvashem, that is only applicable by Tfiyas Mammon. In other situations, Eidim, to be considered valid Eidim, have to have both Riyah, they have to have actually seen what happened, and Yediyah. So, says the Gemara, what Rabbi Yossi is essentially saying, Om le Rapap Labaya, Lame Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Les le Rabacha. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili is teaching us that to be considered a valid testimony by non-financial issues, it has to be full knowledge. Ask the Gemara, the Tanya, this is not like what Rav Acha said. The Tanya of Acha Omer, Gomala Oicher Ben Agmalim, if a camel mates between other camels, and as the Rishonim explain, number of Pshatim, it is common for camels, when they mate, to be wild. A number of Pshatim, how to understand. Posh Pshat that the Rishonim suggest, is that is the way camels behave during mating. Others explain that camels are typically tsunuim, they're modest during their mating, and therefore if they see any other animals around them during the mating, it causes them to get wild and wound the other animals around them. Another shot that I saw is that camels don't mate in a very normal way, and they're embarrassed by that. And therefore, when they notice that there are other animals in their vicinity during their mating, it causes them to harm those animals. And therefore, Rav Acha says, "Gomal oicha ben agmalim." If camels mating amongst other camels, "v'nimtzel gomal harg v'tzidoi," and we have strong circumstantial evidence that this animal that was mating killed the other animals around it, "b'yidush is a hargoy." It's clear that this animal that was mating is the animal that killed it, even though we actually didn't see it. So it seems that Rabbi Yosef Glili doesn't agree with Rav Acha. The Islay Rav Acha, because Rabbi Yosef Glili agrees with Rav Acha, why are we saying that Rabbi Yosef Glili says that only by Dine Mamnis is circumstantial evidence satisfactory? We would have a case by Dine Nefashis also where Rav Acha would hold that Yechayiv. Why? Because there was the case of Rav Shimon Shatach, the Tanya, Amr Rav Shimon Shatach, Erev ben Nechama, And I saw two pshatim what Arab, what Rav Shimon Shatach means to say with Arab in the Chama. One is actually he meant to say loy Arab in the Chama. I should not be worthy of seeing the Nechama. But the Gemara did not want to use such a wording regarding Rav Shimon Shatach, so changed it Arab in the Chama. Another pshat that I saw was that Rav Shimon ben Shatach was swearing that what he's going to say now is accurate. And his shvua was, I swear by the lives of my children that what I'm saying is accurate, to the point that if I'm not saying the truth, I should lose my children, and then I'll have to get nechama, I'll have to get nechama veilim for the loss of my children. There was one person running after someone else into a ruin. And I ran after him. And I found that the murderer was holding a sword in his hands, with blood dripping from it. And the victim was still laying there. Amati loy Russia. Mi hagleza. Who was the person that killed this victim? It was either you or me. And I know it wasn't me, so it certainly was you. What can I do here? I can't do anything here. I'm retired because the Torah set up Pishnei Edim or Shlosh Edim Yumas Meis. The Torah says that you have to have Edim to have seen the entire event, and I didn't see the entire event. Not only, as the Ramban says, did I not see the entire event, that's one issue, it's only strong circumstantial evidence. Furthermore, I'm an only one aid. So given all of the halachas of aidus, I can't testify. However, Rav Shimon Shatach said, Halamakim yiparimcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish you for what you did. Amru le'zazim isham, atchanachash v'meis, until he actually died. Until he was killed by a snake. So we clearly see that this would be a case by Dina Nefashis where we could have strong circumstantial evidence. According to Rav Acha, the Gemara is suggesting it would be acceptable. Rav Yosef Glili disagrees with Rav Acha and it wouldn't be acceptable. Ask Tosfos, how could Rav Shimon ben Shatach say that this murderer should be killed? There was no Hasra. So Tosfos answers that Chaver, Rabbi Yosef Glili, is of the opinion that a Talmud Chacham doesn't require Hasra. And this person who was the murderer was a Talmud Chacham, and therefore Hasra wasn't required. Another pshat is that Rav Shimon ben Shatach, as he was following this pursuer, warned him, don't murder, because if you murder, you'll be Chayiv Misa. So Hasra was given. But then I saw a different pshat. And this pshat, which the Aruch Sameach suggests, also comes to answer another obvious question that the Rishonim ask. Yes, we're saying that according to Rav Acha, circumstantial evidence is accepted in the case of Gomer Ocha Ben Agmalim. We can rely on Umdana. But can't we make a distinction between Dine Nefashis and Dine Mominis? So therefore, ask the Aruch Sameach, even Rav Acha maybe will agree that Beidin and Nefashis, we don't rely on circumstantial evidence. Says the Aruch Sameach. And again, this answer that we're going to give answers both questions that we have. Where is the Asra, and why don't we distinguish between Din and Nefashis and Din and Mominis? He says, we learned the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin that says that if somebody murdered someone else, but we don't have proper Edim, what the Gemara says is we do, we put the person into a keeper, we put the murderer into a keeper, into prison, where he's left essentially to die. So now we understand. Yes, Rav Acha will agree there's a difference between Din and Nefashis and Din and Mamnis. But by Din and Nefashis, there is a concept of keeper. And if Rav Acha accepts circumstantial evidence for Din and Mamnis, strong circumstantial evidence, he certainly should also accept it for a murderer to be put into keeper. And that's why Rav Shimon Shatach didn't have a problem here with the lack of Asra either. Because lack of Asra, even though we can't administer Mises Bezdin, we should put him into the keeper. Says the Gemara, Afiltem Isla Diracha. We don't necessarily have to say that Rav Yosef Glili doesn't agree with Rav Acha. It could be Rav Yosef Glili agrees that compelling circumstantial evidence is acceptable. However, this doesn't contradict what he said, that we only have Yediyah without Re'iyah, and Re'iyah without Yediyah only by Din and Mamonis, not by Din and Nefashis. For says the Gemara, Bishlam Yediyah below Re'iyah, a case by Din and Nefashis to have Yediyah without Re'iyah, Mishkachla, indeed can be found. What's the case? The case that we just learned of Rav Shimon ben Shatach. El Re'iyah below Yediyah, Hech Mishkachla. Even if, but by Din and Nefashis, certainly everybody will agree, even Rav Acha will agree, that you can't have a situation of Re'iyah without Yediyah. Because Miloy Boy Meida, don't we have to know that if the victim, Imavik Chom Harag or Yisrael Harag, Imadam Trefa Harag or Shalom Harag, and therefore by Dida Nefashis, even if we'll argue that Yediyah below Re'iyah is possible, it isn't possible to have Re'iyah below Yediyah, you have to know if the victim was Jewish, you have to know if the victim was not a Trefa, because the Halacha, as we've learned many times, is that if you kill a Trefa, you're not Chayiv Misa. Because, as the Gemara says, the wording always, Gavra Katila Kotal. The person you killed, halachically, is already viewed as if he's not alive. Ask Tosfos, that throughout Shas, we have a Rav that most people are not Trefa. So why is the Gemara saying that we're concerned that the person is a Trefa? We're never concerned that the person is a Trefa. So Tosfos says that's referring to a situation where the person, there were two people that were there. One we knew was a treifa, and one we knew was not a treifa. Under these circumstances, says Tosfos, everybody says will agree that we have to be concerned that perhaps the victim was a treifa, because we know that one of the people in this place was a treifa. That's how Tosfos explains. However, I saw other explanations. A different explanation that I saw is that the Ramban's explanation, that we're referring here to a situation that we know, that we see signs to be concerned that the victim is a treifa. And therefore, even Tosfos would agree under these circumstances that we should give, even Tosfos would agree under these circumstances that we should give, that he should, we have to be concerned that maybe the victim was a treifa. Another pshat that I saw is actually that we have to combine everything that it says in the Gemara here. And the way to understand it is like this. True, we don't normally have to be concerned that the victim is a treifa. But here we have a lot of questions. We have a question, was the victim a Yisrael or not a Yisrael? Was the victim a treifa or not a treifa? When we start combining all of these questions, we don't have a clear picture, and that's why it's considered a situation where we can't kill the murderer because we lack all of this information. Shmamina, says the Gemara, if the Gemara is now teaching us that Rabbi Yosef Galili holds that to be chayiv shvus edus, you have to have situation that you can have yediyah below riyah and riyah below yediyah, which the only case we've been able to identify is a case of tvius mammon. Going back to the question that we spoke about in the previous year, k'sav Rabbi Yosef Galili mashbiyah edik knas. Is Shavuos HaEdus applicable by Eid HaKnas? It'll seem that Rabbi Yosef Galili will hold its potter. This Sa'akadat HaChayif, if you're going to say that Shavuos HaEdus applies by Knas, Ne'ed Yediyah B'loi Re'iyah Ashkechan Lo, indeed we could have a case by Knas of Yediyah B'loi Re'iyah. We could have compelling circumstantial evidence. What will be the halacha? What will be the case? The case will be where we see a man running after a woman to a house where there's no one else. When they ran in, she was a besula, and afterwards we find that she's a bula, and there was no one else there. So that would clearly be a case of knowing of yediyah, that we know that this was the man that violated her, even though we didn't actually see the act. But ask the Gemara by Knas, Re'iyah b'lo yediyah, how is it possible to have? Because again, Miloy Boy Meida, don't we need to know who the woman was? Nachris Baal, Bas Yisrael Baal, was she Nachris or Bas Yisrael? Besula Baal, Beula Baal, was she a Besula or Beula? Knowing this information is essential to know if this is a case of Onus and Piti or not. And therefore, says the Gemara, if according to Rabbi Yosef HaGalili, the test to determine if Shuas Eidus is applicable or not is to determine if you could have Yediya B'lai Re'iya or Re'iya B'lai Yediya, Knas doesn't fit the test, doesn't pass the test, and therefore it will be clear that Rabbi Yosef Glili will hold that the Knas does no Shuas Eidus. As we finish learning Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion, which is all based on the concept of compelling some circumstantial evidence, Rav Acha taught us that we do rely on that, as we said, under certain circumstances. The Paiskim say that clearly we don't rely on it by Dinei Nefashos, as we spoke about earlier. Furthermore, we don't rely on it when Edim have to establish something. The example we always give is Kedushin, where we know that a Kedushin is not considered a valid Kedushin unless we have two Edim actually being there b'shas the Kedushin. The fact that we know that a man is married to a woman is not enough. We have to actually see the Ma'isa Kedushin. There too, circumstantial evidence will not be adequate. But in Dinei Mamonis, at times the Paiskim do rely on compelling circumstantial evidence. And I just mentioned a few of the questions, the shailas that I saw regarding this. One is, can we rely on a lie detector machine? A lie detector, is that considered compelling circumstantial evidence? Another shaila that I saw is that there was a person who was getting old and he was concerned that he may become incapacitated. So he gave over to one of his sons power of attorney over his financial matters. And indeed, this individual, Nebuch, got sick and his son was managing his affairs. This gentleman had a custom that every time a grandchild was born to him, he would give the grandchild a gift, a nice gift, a sizable monetary gift. And the question now is, can this son who's managing his father's financial affairs write out such a check? Because although he was given the power to manage his father's day-to-day affairs, he wasn't given permission to create new obligations to give gifts from that money. On the other hand, we have an umdana. We have compelling reason to believe that he always gave his children, his grandchildren, such a gift, that he certainly wanted to give such a gift in this situation also. So I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that this is a case that it's a mumdana and a muchach. We could be confident that this was the person's intent and desire, and the gift could be written. But then I saw another interesting question. There was an individual who supported a Talmud Chacham. Every month he gave the Talmud Chacham a stipend. And then Nebuch, this person, also became mentally incapacitated. But his family still want to continue supporting this Talmud Chacham. And the Talmud Chacham has a question, is this considered a situation of a umdan and a muchach, that this person would want to continue giving the gift, or we can't say so? I saw Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein is not quite clear how to paskin the shaila. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rahabnuna kamed Rav Yehuda. The Yosef Yehuda kamed Baylai. In a situation, he asks, mana menisicha, where somebody says to somebody else, I gave you mana as a loan, and I did it b'fnei ploini and ploini, and I did it in front of these two Edim. The Edim ran oisa b'chutz, but the Edim was standing outside. Mai, what is the halacha? Amalei Rav Hamnuna, v'alo matoin, says Rav Hamnuna, and let's understand what is the other person saying. E Omar, if he's saying lo hayudvar ma'olam, this never happened. Chusa kafrin, he's clearly a liar because we have Edim who saw him taking the money. However, E Omar, if what he says is in shakli, yes, I took money from this individual. Have the di shakli, the money I took was money that belonged to me. Kiyasa Edim I have, so what's the difference that they have Edim? Omlei, so he responded to him, Hamnuna at Olto. And as I saw the Sefer Torah Chaim explains it as follows. What he was saying was that you are a great Talmud Chacham and you deserve, as we know, the Talmidim would sit in front of the Rebbeim, and the seat that a Talmud got was based on his level of being a Talmud Chacham. He's saying clearly you're a big Talmud Chacham and you deserve to have
a good seat. Mefarshim, however, give a different pshat. The Sefer Taras Chaim says a very beautiful pshat. He says that the Gemara Masechta Kedushin says that the Bnei Yeshiva asked a question of Rav Hamnuna, which he wasn't able to answer. So they said to him, Hamnuna, your name doesn't belong, should not be Hamnuna, your name should be Karnuna. Hamnuna means warm, delicious fish. Karnuna means cold fish. You don't really have what to say. So says the Gemara. Now what he said to him was, that time they question if the name Hamnuna is appropriate to you. But now, Hamnuna, the name Hamnuna, which represents warm fish, which represents that you're a Talmud Chacham, is most appropriate to you, because you said a comment which is very worthy. Continues the Gemara. Huda amalei l'chavri. Manam nisa l'chua b'tzad omadze. I counted out a money to you next to this pillar, and you owe me this money. Amalei l'vaat b'tzad omadze. I didn't walk there. Also trey sadi, sadi b'edish, the mayim b'tzad omadze. So he brings two edim that he urinated at that pillar. Amr shlokesh chosakafrin. It's clear this person is a liar, because he says he was never there, and we have edim that he was there. Maskler Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman regarding Rish Lakish's psak, Haidina Parsuahu. What you just said is incorrect. It's Persian justice, so that's correct. Mi Kamama Oilam, he didn't say that I never stood there. Basic Zekamala, he said this specific event that you're claiming that I stood next to the pillar, that, and lent money and borrowed money, that never happened. I didn't say he never walked there. So bringing Adam that I was once there doesn't disprove anything. Ikadamri, but there's a very different version of this Gemara. Ikadamri, Hahudamal al-Khavri, Manam Nisalach B'tzad Amadzah. I counted the money for you next to this pillar. Amalei, Levat B'tzad Amadzah Ma'ilam. I never walked by this pillar. Novak Be'sadi, Dishtamayim B'tzad Amadzah. So Adam came that he did indeed urinate next to this Amid. Amr of Nachman, here, Huchsa Kafrin, he's clearly a liar, because he said that he never walked by this pillar. And here, clearly, there are Edom that he did walk by there. Amalei Rav Nachman, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, says Rav Rav Nachman, not necessarily is he considered a liar. Because Kom Milsa Deloi Ramalei De Inish, anything a person doesn't need to pay attention to, Avalei V'Lavadatei, he forgets. And therefore, the fact that he said that he was never there doesn't make him into a liar, because it's something that the person never really paid specifically attention to. Actually, I saw that the Mefarshim discussed this whole concept at great length. When do we say Milsa Deloi Ramya Inish, Milsa Deloi Ramya Inish, Avid V'Lavetete, he forgets. And basically what I saw the Paiskim say is that there are two parts to this concept. One part to this concept is that the person, sometimes you do something and it's so insignificant that you don't necessarily pay attention. And another point is that sometimes you say something and what you're saying is really so unimportant that even though you said it, it really doesn't mean that it's that significant. What do I want to point out with this? What I'm really trying to point out with this is, where do we apply this concept lahalocha? For I saw some interesting shailas. The Nida Behuda discusses a shaila where we know the halacha is if somebody, for example, puts in a dairy spoon into a pot of meat. So if you have shishim against the spoon is fine. Otherwise, we have a problem. So he discusses a situation. And the halacha also is that it's only fine, you only have to be concerned up to the spot where you actually stuck the spoon in. So if you realize immediately after you put the spoon in that you made a mistake here, so you could see until where the spoon is still wet. But let's say it's after you washed and dried the spoon, what is the halacha? So perhaps here we have a situation where a person doesn't recognize what he's, doesn't necessarily pay attention to what he's doing, and since the person doesn't necessarily under these circumstances pay attention to what he's doing, we cannot say that that the halacha can accept what he's saying. Similar situation where I saw the Michsa Lozer was asked the following question. Apparently, in those times, it was quite common that there were esroigim that were delivered that were merkavim. There was a question if they were not kosher esroigim because they were merkav, they were grafted with other fruits. Says the question was asked to Mechzelozer. So what they used to do was, out of every shipment of esroigim, they would take three esroigim and cut them open, because by cutting them open, we could see the way the seeds are in the esrig. And in a kosher esrig, the seeds stand. In a non-kosher esrig, the seeds are in a laying position. So the Mechzelozer was asked that the person who was examining the esrigim wasn't a Talmud Chacham. So he didn't really know how to determine if it's a kosher esrig or not. What is the halacha? Says the Mechzelozer, here we don't apply milsa de lav rami alei de inish. Because even though the person is not a Talmud Chacham and he doesn't necessarily understand what the halach is, he does know what he saw. And therefore, because he recognizes and knows what he saw, we could accept what his report is. The last opinion that we learned in the previous year of how we know that Shuas Eidus only applies by Tfiyas Mammon was the opinion of Rav Shimon. Chayv kan v'chayv b'kodim. And Rav Shimon made a kal v'chomer saying that since Shuas b'kodim is only by Tfiyas Mammon, so too should be the din by Shuas Eidus. He then said that that kal v'chomer is refuted for two reasons. Because the halacha is that if somebody makes a Shavuos Eidus, he has to bring a carbon, even b'mezid, whereas by Shavuos HaPikadon, no carbon is brought b'mezid. And he said, a Shavuos Eidus, yechayiv, even by Mujba b'pi acherim, whereas a Shavuos HaPikadon, you are not chayiv b'pi acherim. And therefore he, at the end, relied on a gzeir shava of techta between Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos HaPikadon. Machkuba Marava. So they laughed at this in Eretz Yisrael. And as Rishonim point out, they didn't laugh at Reb Shimon. They just laughed at the back and forth. My chukka, what caused them to laugh, says the Gemara, the Ketani. Because when Reb Shimon refuted the Kal V'chomer, he said, Ma'alek b'kodnim, shloi osba mojba k'nishba. That by a b'kodnim, there is no halacha that we treat a shvur mipi acherim like shvur mipi atzmai. There is no halacha, a mezid k'shayig. Says the Gemara. Let's talk about the concept of Mujmi Pi Acherim and Mujmi Pi Atzmai. Michti. Mujmi Pi Atzmai Be'edus of Shimon Menolei. How does we know that Shvu'mi Pi Atzmai is considered a valid Shvu'us Eidus? Because the government of Bikodin, because we learned Shvu'us Eidus from Bikodin. Which is interesting to point out, because at this point of Rav Shimon's argument, he has not yet accepted the Gzeru Shava. Says Rashi and the other Rishonim that Rav Shimon must have been aware, even at the beginning of his limud, that such a gzeir shava exists. He just wanted to try to explore: must we rely on the gzeir shava or not? But says the Gemara how do we know that Shua? So that's why the Gemara's questioning of Shimon: how do we know Shua be atzmai works by Shua Saidus? Because we learn from Shua Sabikadin. So says the Gemara. So if we're learning Shavuos Eidus from Shavuos Pikadon, we should also learn Pikadon Nami. We should learn Shavuos Pikadon from Shavuos Eidus and say Mishbe B'Piacherim Nigma Eidus. And just like Shavuos Eidus Mishbe B'Piacherim works, so too by Shavuos Pikadon. Umay Chuka. And what's wrong with this? It says the Gemara Dima Shimon B'Kavu Chaim Maisla. He doesn't have a Gzeri Shava. And therefore, the way he knows that Shavuos Haedus, Shavuos Mipiachayim works, has nothing to do with Shavuos Bikadon, rather through a Kal V'chomer. And that's why the Gemara said, Rav Shimon was correct in saying that only by Shavuos Haedus does it work both Mishavuos Mipiachayim and Shavuos Mipiachayim, not Shavuos Bikadon. Ela Chuka Mezik Shagig. What they found funny was what he said regarding Mezik and Shagig. The Ketani, because Rav Shimon said we can't learn Shavuos Eidus from Shavuos Pikadon, because Ma Bikadon Shekain La'asuba Mujbe K'nishba, and Mezik Kishoygig, because he's arguing that Shuas HaPikadin, you're only Chayiv a carbon b'shoygig, whereas Shuas Eidus, you're Chayiv a carbon both by Mezid and Shoygig. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Mezid Gabe Eidus Menolei. Indeed, normally you're not Chayiv a carbon b'mezid. Why by Shuas Eidus are you Chayiv a carbon b'mezid? The likes of Vinalam, because the Torah doesn't use the word Vinalam, so we say that carbon applies both by Mezid and Shoygig. Ask the Gemara, Hachanami, by Shuas Pikadin, also like Sebei Vinalam. And therefore says the Gemara, is suggesting the Gemara, that Shuas Bekadin, the carbon should apply also b'mezid. And that's why they didn't like what Rav Shimon said. Amar Rav Huna Mai Chukka. Dilma, mezid the laf kishay b'kadin will still hold that by b'kadin you only bring a carbon b'shayig not b'mezid. Why? Because Me'ila Rav Shimon Gamala. He learns it from a gzeir shavet to Me'ila. Because the Torah uses the words umal amal regarding Shuas HaBikadim. The Torah uses the words Kisimamal regarding Mi'ila. And by Mi'ila, the halach is the only chayiv carbon Mi'ila, Asham Mi'ilas, B'shayig, not B'mezid. Says the Rav Hayna Chukka, maybe that's what they didn't like about what Rav Shimon's saying. Because what they didn't like about what he's saying was that Ad Gamalam Mi'ila, instead of learning from Mi'ila, Nigma Mal'edis, doesn't make more sense to learn Shuas HaBikadim for Shuas HaEdis. And therefore come to the conclusion that just like b'shuas ha'edus yechayiv a carbon, both b'mezid and shayig, so too should be the dibur b'shuas b'kadin. Says the Ramistabra, Me'ila havelei l'me'ilav. It makes more sense to learn from Me'ila. Shekei Me'ila Me'ila. The Torah uses the words Me'ila in both situations. Says the Gemara, Adrabba, Me'edus havelei l'me'ilav. It makes more sense to learn it from shuas ha'edus. Shekei techta techta. The Torah uses the words techta in both of these subjects. So what is the better comparison? Says the Ramistam Me'ila Havlamelv. It makes more sense to learn from Me'ila. Shekei Me'ila, the Torah uses the words Me'ila. Bakol, Shuas Bikadin and Me'ila apply to all types of people, whereas Shuas Eidus only applies to people who are kosher to say Eidus. Nana, in both cases there's a benefit, but Shuas Eidus there's no benefit. Bekavua, both cases, a carbon kavua, a fixed carbon is brought, not a carbon oil of a yard like by Shuas Eidus. Chaimish, in both cases, you have to add a chaimish by Me'ila, and by Bekadim, a chaimish has to be added, and both of them bring a carbon ashram, whereas a Shuas Eidus is a carbon chatus. Says, well, Adarava, the Eidus have lamelef. Perhaps the comparison to Shuas Eidus is better, they're more common characteristics, Shkein Chait. Both of them have the word techta. Hedyot, both apply to items that are not necessarily hegdish. Beshvur, both are speaking to shvuas. Mila has nothing to do with a shvur. Tavi v'kafrei, they both apply to a situation where a claim is being made and they're responding to a claim. V'oyin, and both parashas have the word oy. Says the Gemara Hanach Nefishin, there's still more comparisons to Me'ila between shvuas b'kadin and Me'ila versus shvuas b'kadin and shvuas ha'edis, and therefore the point that Rav Shimon made, the fact that he stated that Shuas HaBikadin is the carbon is only b'shaygig is still correct. So we're still looking to see why they were machuku, why they were laughing at Rav Shimon. Ela machuka ki asra papa Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua mevei Rav Amri haynachuka michti Rav Shimon gzeres shava gomer. Rav Shimon has a gzeres shava between Shuas HaEdis and Shuas HaBikadin. So lamalei the parach. So how could he ask? How could Rav Shimon differentiate between the halachas of Shuas Eidus and Shuas Bikadin, where he himself has a gzeirah shava connecting these two subjects? Ask them, what's the question? When Rav Shimon was asking the questions to differentiate between Shuas Eidus and Shuas Bikadin, became the tekken like gzeirah shava. It's before he acknowledged the gzeirah shava. Indeed, bust the Kamal Gzeres Shava once he says the Gzeres Shava like Parach. V'loi, says the Gemara, does he not refute this Kal V'chaymer even after he knew the Gzeres Shava? V'amalei Rav Ba'itel Rav Rabbanan. Man Tana, who's the Tana of the following statement? Shuas B'kadin Lo Nitin Zedayna L'Kapara. There is no Kapara if somebody deliberately makes a Shuas B'kadin. Rav Shimon he. So he says it's Rav Shimon. So we see that even though he has a gzeirah shava, he still holds that Shuas HaBikadin, the carbon is only b'mezid, whereas Shuas HaEdis, it's both b'mezid and b'shoygig. Attempts the Gemara to explain Rav Shimon's position. Dilma meza kishagi kaparach, that he still hold that only by shuas ha'edus do we treat mezid and shagig equally, but not by shuas b'kadin. For even though there is a gzeirah shava connecting shuas ha'edus and shuas b'kadin, we just still have what we learned, another gzeirah shava, the gemara me'ila. There is also gzeirah shava connecting shuas b'kadin to me'ila. And as we just explained, it's actually a better comparison. The Hanach Nefishin, there are more common characteristics. So, indeed, the halacha still would be, after the Gzeirah Shava, that Shuas B'Kadin, the carbon is only brought B'Shagi, not B'Mezid. Avam Mushba K'nish B'Lay Parach. But indeed, after he has a Gzeirah Shava between Shuas HaB'Kadin and Shuas HaEdis, he will agree that the din, that we don't differentiate between Mujmim Pi Atzma and Mujmim Pi Acherim, apply both by Shvus HaEdis and Shvus HaBikadim. So again, we're still trying to find out what is the basis of the Chukah. And the Gemara says, why didn't he say this way? But to head the Edis with Tigmel HaBikadim, if indeed there's a Gzer Shava, they were saying to Reb Shimon, why don't we say the following? By the Kadim we just established that Mezid is not Kishoyig, and that carbon is only brought by Shuas B'Kadin B'Shagig and not B'Mezid. So why don't we say, if Rav Shimon holds of a Gzer Shava of Techta Techta, Ma B'Kadin Shagigin Mezid Loi, Af Edis, so to B'Shuas Edis we should say perhaps, Shagigin Mezid Loi, just like Kehech Diyal B'Kadin Me'ila, just like we learned B'Kadin from Me'ila, to say that the carbon is only brought B'Shagig, not B'Mezid, now we should go one step further, say since it's a Gzer Shava connecting Shuas Edis to Shuas B'Kadin, we should say that Shuas Edis, the carbon is only brought B'Shagig, not B'Mezid. Lahachi, says the Gemara, and Lahachi Kas Rachman al Edis, Gabi Shuas Bitui. Why doesn't Rav Shimon agree to this? Because the Torah put together Shuas Edis by Shuas Bitui, and similarly, by Gabi Tumas Midrash Kedoshim into the Pasha that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta of Tumas Midrash Kedoshim, the Mekulam Nem Vanelam, where all them the Torah uses the word Vanelam, Vekan Loi Nem Vanelam, and here it doesn't say Vanelam, to teach us that Shuas HaEdis, unlike all these other subjects, L'chayiv L'Mezid K'Shagig, the Torah goes out of its way to teach us that the Chiyiv Karbon by Shuas HaEdis is both by Shagig and Mezid, and we should not rely on the Gzer Shava between Shuas HaEdis and Shuas HaPikadim. It's interesting to point out that Chassam Sofer says that many people have the minig of learning Masechta Shuas during the Sfira, the 49 days in the Sfira, the 49 blot in this Masechta, 48 blot in this Masechta. So he says, if you figure it out, that Flama Dalid is learnt on Lag B'Omer. Lag B'Omer, we know, is the yard site and the day that we celebrate the life of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So the Gemara that says here, Machkala, Rav Shimon ben Yochai, it's the day that Rav Shimon ben Yochai has Elias Neshama, and he's Machkala, and he's satisfied, is the day, is the Gemara that's learnt on Lag B'Omer.